You first, bro.
All right. Thank you, yeah. Paulo. Como vai, irmão?
Tudo bem. Muito bom estar aqui com você.
E es que certo homem interpreta a lei, se levantou com a atitude para Jesus em provas. E disse ele, Maestro, que farei para herdar a vida eterna?
On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Então Jesus ele perguntou, que está escrito na lei, como interpretas?
What is writing in the law? He replied, how do you read it?
A isto ele respondeu, amarás o Senhor de Deus de todo o teu coração, de toda a tua alma, de toda a tua força e todo o teu entendimento. Amarás o teu próximo como ti mesmo.
He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself.
Então Jesus ele disse, responde corretamente, faça isto e viverás.
You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live.
But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor?
But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked.
Oh, sorry.
You know, I'm not so clever. I hate. Now I have to change my Bible.
English or Portuguese?
Okay.
29. But he, wanting to justify, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Por isso, uma vez chamado, vim... I'm sorry. Ele, porém, querendo justificar-se, perguntou a Jesus, quem é o meu próximo?
Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead.
Jesus prosseguiu dizendo, certo homem descia de Jerusalém para Jericó, e veio cair em mão de salteadores, os quais, depois de tudo lhe roubarem, lhe causarem muitos ferimentos, retiraram-se, deixando-o semi-morto.
Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Casualmente, descia um sacerdote por aquele mesmo caminho, e vendo-o, passou de largo.
Likewise, the Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side.
Semelhantemente, um levita descia por aquele lugar e vendo, também passou de largo.
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion.
Mas certo samaritano que seguiu seu caminho passou-lhe perto e vendo, compadeceu-se dele.
So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him.
E chegando-se, pensou-lhe os ferimentos, aplicando-lhes óleo e vinho, e colocando sobre o seu próprio animal, levou-o para uma hospedaria e tratou dele.
On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will come again and repay you.
No dia seguinte, tirou 2 denários e os entregou ao hospedeiro, dizendo, cuida desse homem, e se alguma coisa gastardes a mais, eu te indenizarei quando voltar.
So, which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?
Qual desses três te parece ter sido o próximo do homem que caiu na mão dos salteadores?
And he answered to Jesus, he who showed mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise.
Respondeu-lhe o intérprete da lei, o que usou de misericórdia para com ele, então lhe disse, vai e procede tu de igual modo.
Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into their home.
Indo eles de caminho, entrou Jesus num povoado e certa mulher chamada Marta hospedou-o na sua casa.
And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
Tinha ela uma irmã chamada Maria que estava... quedava-se sentada aos pés do Senhor e ouvia-lhe os ensinamentos.
But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to come and help.
Marta agitava-se de um lado para o outro, ocupada em muitos serviços. Então se aproximou de Jesus e disse, Senhor, não te importas que minha irmã tenha deixado que eu fique a servir sozinha? Ordena-lhe, pois, que venha ajudar-me.
And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away.
Respondeu-lhe o Senhor, Marta, Marta, andas inquietas e te preocupas com muitas coisas. Entretanto, pouco é necessário, ou mesmo uma só coisa. Maria, pois, escolheu boa parte, e essa não lhe será tirada. May I pray? Thank you, dear Jesus, for the opportunity to be here tonight. I just ask you, Lord, to continue to speak with us, each of us. And by your mercy and grace, just use my life to bless your church, to your glory, in Jesus' name. Yes, it's very good to be here with you all. And I hope you can understand my English. I have learned English in the last 6 years, and I tell you, you know, it's kind of hard. And I was so excited when I find out that my brother speaks Portuguese, and I thought, maybe I can speak in Portuguese and he translates to me. But I don't think he likes the idea. But you know, we tried to read the Bible, you know. It was nice to come here in the front with two Bibles. I felt very spiritual, you know, in English and Portuguese. Kind of interesting. You know, once I was in the church, when I first arrived here in America, you know, because in Brazil, the service in the church can maybe sometimes goes like 3 hours. I've been service in Brazil with like 4 hour service. You know, the people just like to sing and they continue to sing and they don't stop to sing. You know, and when you see, you know, 1 hour and a half just singing, you know, and people get excited. And people, the pastors come to preach. If they see that the people are respond, you know, giving feedback, they don't stop it. They continue to preach. You know, it's kind of excited. It's kind of interesting, you know. It's hard when the pastor is boring because, you know, people still want to be nice and they smile and they give some feedback and, you know, and it's interesting. But when I first arrived here, I went to a church in California and they said, Paulo, you have 15 minutes. Can you speak, you know, about the ministry in 15 minutes? I say, oh, great, you know, 15 minutes is better than nothing. I can try, I will try, I do my best. I know, in my English it was much, much worse, you know. It was like, oh my gosh. The kids like it because, you know, the kids understand better. But something happens and during the service in that particular church. And the gentleman who was in charge for the program, he came to me and said, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. You have 7.5 minutes now. Okay. And I look at him, you know, I gave a smile. I say, okay, don't worry about it, you know, thank you. But I start to think about how am I going to do in 7.5 minutes, you know. I don't know about the half, you know. But another time I was in the church and I have some more time. I have 25 minutes. And what happened is, somehow I was so anxious, you know, I was so nervous. Every time I come to the front, you know, my stomach kind of is funny, you know, and I kind of tremble. You cannot see because it's kind of far. But, you know, it's very hard for me to be in the front. But, you know, that church, I, you know, after being practicing speaking 7.5 minutes and 10 minutes, and I instead using the 25 minutes, I don't remember if it was 25 or 30 minutes, I finish 4 minutes before I supposed to, you know. And I was so glad that I finished 4 minutes, you know, earlier, you know. And I thought maybe everybody would be very happy about that. But, you know, the music pastor who was supposed to sing after I finished, he wasn't there. Because he was counting that he has 4 more minutes and he was doing something else. I said, oh, and I got in trouble in that church, believe me. They never invite me anymore. Just because I was earlier 4 minutes. I say, oh my gosh. And now I have to be careful. The watch is just right there. The good thing is, you know, I try to be very, very directed. I am Paulo Mota, my wife Irene. We start ministry. Doing ministry 18 years ago. I grew up in a very poor family, just across the street to the slums. But I praise God for my mom and dad. They was great, you know. very dedicated parents. I grew up as a Catholic, and I have a wonderful mom and father, very hard workers, you know, and I have a younger sister. You know, and I came to Christ when I was around 17 years old, through my mom, who took me to a Russian Baptist church. You know, my mom came to Christ first through a Billy Graham's crusade. And she took me to this Russian Baptist church, very traditional, you know. And when we first arrived, they were speaking Russian. And I look at my mom and say, you know, I cannot speak proper Portuguese. You know, how you bring me to a Russian church? You know, doesn't make much sense. But they have a service in Portuguese, you know, and I was very glad about that. And I heard the message of the gospel. And that day I gave my life to Christ. You know, and the great thing is I stood in that church for many years, you know. And I learned how to eat all the Russian kind of food, you know, it was kind of fun. But I grew up in a very traditional kind of poor family. When God first called me to the ministry, I was in my 20s. And this short girl, blonde, blue eyes, short, came to my church. She said, you know, I was watching TV in Switzerland. She's from Switzerland. And I saw the red light district in São Paulo, Brazil. You know, red light district. You guys understand about it. You know, and she was so touched that she wanted to come to Brazil and work with that people in the red light district. And he went to talk with her pastor, and her pastor said, go forward. You know, and she ended up in the church where I was. And she was there and asked for help. Please, I need someone. My pastor sent me here to work with girls and boys in the red light district. And I need help. Who wanted to help me? You know, she speaks very broken Portuguese. And I noticed that everybody in the church was like this. You know, they look around to see who will be the brave or the, you know, will be the crazy one to raise the hand. They really, nobody raised the hand. It was very sad for me. God moved this young lady all the way from Switzerland to come to a very, very bad place in Brazil, in São Paulo. I was so embarrassed, so ashamed, that at the end of the service, I didn't raise my hand, just so you know. I was so afraid. You know, actually, I never saw a prostitute in my life, in my 20s. I never saw a transvestite in my life. Actually, I didn't know the difference between, you know, I don't know what is, you know, I didn't know. But, you know, I went to talk with that girl. And I said, I told her, I don't know nothing. I'm shy. I don't speak at all, you know. I'm not so clever. I'm not, you know. I don't know anything about, you know, red light district, girls doing prostitution, boys doing prostitution. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about drugs. I never smoke cigarettes. I never even drink wine, you know. I learned that after becoming missionary, but okay. But, you know, working with people from Europe, you know. Yeah, but I never did anything like that. My life was pretty much boring for the most of people, you know. Oh, boring life, very boring. But, you know, God uses us. Because we don't know what to do, we walk. We pray, like the brother who pray and walk. We did that. On the streets of downtown São Paulo, we walk and we smile because this we know how to do it. You know, this lady from Switzerland, she knows how to smile. You know, and I know how to smile. I don't have to say anything, just smile. You know, and we walk through the girls and boys and we smile. You know, these people after a couple months they got very confused. They thought, what these people are doing? They come every day here and smile to us. You know. Well, you know, they start to make questions, and we start to explain to them. We are there because we love, we're praying for you, for your safety. We have, no, we wanted to be a blessing for you. We wanted to serve you and help you. You know, we didn't know nothing about all this kind of stuff, but God used our lives. You know, and transvestites start to come to Christ, and prostitutes start to come to Christ. It was amazing. God did miracles. But, you know, you can ask, why are you going to talk about the Good Samaritan? Most of the time, when we read the parable of the Good Samaritan, we talk about the Good Samaritan. Huh? Actually, I'd like to talk about the two other guys, you know. But before that, Have you felt before? I like, since I arrived in the United States, I like to watch Cooper 360, you know, CNN kind of thing. You know, they have, I like, you know, to watch. And I don't know if you experienced that before, but when I watch sometimes the news, I feel so helpless. The world is so confused. Our world is so broken. There's such violence everywhere. That is overwhelming. I don't know if you felt overwhelming, you know, but I felt like, wow. You know, thousands of young girls, children, being raped. Thousands and thousands of kids being murdered, cold blood. Girls, 21st century, and we still have this slavery. This is so sick. I work in the streets and the slums of São Paulo. São Paulo city has 2,100 slums. 2,100 slums. One of the biggest slums has 100,000 people living in. And misery, poverty. Drugs everywhere. You can buy drugs in São Paulo like you buy candy. You know, it's easy, everywhere. You know, prostitution. You see girls, 9 years old, 8 years old, selling their bodies for $1 or $2. No more than that. It's sick. We live in a sick, broken world. You know, there are missionaries here and they can share with you the struggles that they have, you know, with the kids they work with. It's very sad. I've been watching CNN, and I don't want to advertise CNN, I'm sorry. I know they are liberals and all kind of things. You know, but I was watching about Africa, about Sudan. 400,000 people being killed. Hundreds and thousands of kids being murdered. You know, this is not only Africa. Goes through Asia. Goes through South America. It's just unbelievable. You know, Brazil is a peaceful country, everybody say. Some people think the Brazilians are nice. I cannot say anything. But, you know, for many years, Brazil was the number one. Okay, I'm not going to talk about soccer, okay, because I'm very disappointed with Brazil. No. But for many years, we was number one in murder by gunfire. We was number one for many, many years. There are times in Brazil where it goes to 40,000 murders a year to 50,000 murders a year. Crime, you know? Boom, boom. Can you believe that in a peaceful country? You know, there are so many policemen being killed that it is unbelievable. It's overwhelming, you know? You feel helpless. Nothing really you can do. You know? And I thought I bought my sermon, but I just bought the empty page. I'm sorry. I'll be shorter. But, you know, it's overwhelming. You know, what to do? What we can do to change this broken world? It's not only there, it's here. You know, as an American citizen, you can see the misery, the violence next door. You know, people killing kids and schools and all kind of mess. You know, drugs everywhere. You know, rave parties, you know, and the kids doing drugs. It's just, you know, it's just crazy. It's too crazy. It's a broken world. We live in a broken world. You know, it's overwhelming. No, the wealthy living side by side with the poverty. Not only poverty, extremely poverty. You know, I feel, you know, actually I'm depressed. You know, I'm suffering of depression. After 18 years working in such conditions, I've been very depressed lately. You know, I've been kidnapped once. And when they kidnap me, they make Russian roulette. You know Russian roulette? Yeah. You know, in that time, when they started to do the Russian roulette, I thought I was dead, you know. in your life pass in your head very quick, you know, like zoom. You see a lot of things that happens to your life, you know. When they put up the gun in your head and, you know, and start to pull the trigger, your life passes in your mind like as fast as the fastest computer, even more faster than anything, you know. And when they are doing that, I remember a couple of things that I never confessed, and I took my time to, Lord, forgive me for that, you know, that sin, and I never thought about that, but, you know. Now, you have a gun in your head, and they're going to pull the trigger, and they did it once, they did it twice, you know, and I think, I am dead, I am in heaven now, and not yet, you know, and they did it the third time, you know. It's very sick, you know. My wife, he's almost been murdered a couple of times. No, life is not easy. It's pretty hard, pretty difficult. You know, and you know, it's just overwhelmed, all of us. In different levels, we've been kind of this sense of what I can do. There is no much I can do about all this mess all around us. You know. And you know, we still have to deal with our own lives. And most of us have families. And we need to spend quality time with our families. And most of us have work, you know, has work. And we have to be dedicated, responsible. And it's very hard when we lose our jobs, you know. But we have to be dedicated, you know. We have to be responsible all the times. Plus, family and work, we have church. And some of us have some commitment with the church. Oh, maybe the most of us have some commitment with the church. And this is a good thing. You know, churches has a lot of programs. And it's nice to participate at least of one of these programs, you know. And if we have kids, it's making even more, you know. We arrived in California like 8 weeks ago. And our son wanted to play soccer. And we signed up him to play soccer in California, you know. It keeps us busy. It's like twice a week you have to go to practice. Plus Saturdays they have big game, you know, things like that. It's, you know, life keeps us very busy all the time. You know, it's interesting. Now we have so much technology. You know, in the past, our family members, they don't have all this technology. And it sounds that they have more time to do other things. But today is so crazy. We have so much technology, but our days are busy. We need a couple of more hours, you know, because it's just overwhelming, you know, so fast. You know, and you know, we are so busy all the time. Plus, we have to take some time for recreation, right? You know, we need recreation. I like to watch movies, you know, I like to go to the cinemas, you know. It's something fun to do, you know, like to do. And I don't do exercises, you know, I'm kind of lazy, I don't have any discipline. And you know, in São Paulo, you cannot just jogging around, run around, because you can be robbed, you know, and beat up, you know. It's better to watch a movie, stay home. You know, and, you know, but we have so much things to do. And what all of this has to be with the passage that we read? Let me tell you, when you read about the Good Samaritans, many times we see the priest and the Levite. Is right, Levite? We see these two guys with very like, oh man, disgusting people. How they can see the guy in the floor and go away, you know? The Bible says they went away from that person who was on the floor. And we see them with very critical eyes. You know, gosh, disgusting people. How they can do that? For one of their own. You know, was one of their own. Wasn't a Samaritan who was on the floor. Was one of their own. You know, and yet, Jew and Samaritans, they don't go along very well. You know, it's like watching a football team, you know, like the team from California, you know, 49ers or Oakland, and another team from whatever. You know, people kind of don't like each other. You know, the fans, the fanatic fans doesn't like each other. My wife is fanatic about soccer. And once she took me to a final between her team and another crazy and violent team. The fans are just fanatic. They fight like the hooligans. And I don't want to go. She was pregnant. You're crazy. You'll be like 70,000 to 80,000 people in the stadium. And they love to fight. They swear all your generations, you know. It's just crazy. And because we was late, we just have to sit next to the enemy. You know, we was just like that far. And these people from here scream us and tell us he's going to kill us, you know? And the people from here were saying the same things. And we were just here, just looking, oh God, has missed of us. What are we doing here? We're not very friendly with each other. You know, Jew and Samaritans, they are not very friendly. You know, once, you know, the disciples went to a Samaritan village and the people in Samaritan saw they are Jew from Jerusalem. They said, they kicked them out. And the disciples were so upset that when Jesus said, God, can we pray to bring fire from the heaven to destroy that evil people, you know? These are disciples, you know? And, you know, they don't go along very well, you know? But I want to show you a different type of priest and Levite. These two gentlemen in the Good Samaritan parable, you know, they was very respectful people. Everybody in the community respect them. They are authorities. They are serving in God's, you know, house. They was very dedicated, responsible people. What is wrong? Once a gentleman from my church, he was in downtown São Paulo, under the, you know, walking on the bridge, and he saw that someone was going to jump. He just find out, oh, that guy going to jump that bridge. And he hold the guy's arms. Say, what are you going to do? And the guy said, look at him like scared. He say, I'm going to jump. And this gentleman from my church, he look at, because he noticed that something bad is going to happen. And he look at, and the first thing he said, and he gave this testimony in the church, is why I'm telling you. The first thing he said, wait here, I'm going to call the police, okay? And I say, no, what is going on? He's going to call the police. He didn't say anything for the guy. He just hold the arms and look at the eyes. Okay, wait here, then we're going to call the police. And he shared that he has a very important business meeting. Very important. We'll decide the future of his company, this meeting. And he cannot spend 5 minutes, you know. He was busy. And I tell you, this guy is a great, nice, very fun, very big heart guy, you know, in the church. Everybody in the church loved that guy, you know, who gave this testimony. What is wrong with the priest and the Levite? No, they are responsible people. They are very committed people. You know, probably they was overwhelmed with such misery all around. A lot of homeless people, you know, in that time. Like today. A lot of homeless people, you know. Many times they got drunk, they're on the floor, you know. Who cares? You know, oh, they are drunk. It's better to stay there, you know. That way he'll wake up and be ashamed of his own situation. You know, that people wasn't wrong, you know, in the sense that, you know, we are too busy. We are doing God's work, you know. We have our jobs. We have our families, you know. We just pass away, you know. Let's go home. Let's do whatever we have to do, you know. And they miss the point, you know. I don't want you to see these two priests, the priest and the Levite, and with bad eyes, you know, with bad conception. Because, you know, they are not different from us. We have very busy lives. Sometimes we don't pay attention for what's going on around us. Let's tell the truth. Sometimes we are so busy and we have so many things to do. Family, work, entertainment. We have so many, you know, church programs that we don't pay attention for what's going on around us. We see the TV, we heard missionaries talk about it, we feel overwhelmed, but you know, we have our own lives to take care. And it's very, very, very difficult. You know, it's very, very difficult. What we are missing. You know, in America, it's different than Brazil. You know, it's a lot of cultural different kind of things. Like in Brazil, when you visit a home, like one thing in Brazil, nobody calls you to say they are going to visit, you know. They just shows up in your door. It doesn't matter how, you know, they just go and shows up. You know, it's kind of strange. But you know, as people come, you open the door, you make a cup of coffee, you know, have party, fellowship, you know. Who needs to work now? Let's do, you know, let's fellowship, you know. And you know, we grow up like that. It's kind of normal, you know. Never bothered us to people show up. Now maybe, you know, in Americanize it, you know, and it's kind of hard. But here in America, it's different. You always have to make appointment, call, you know, agenda, schedules, you know, kind of things. And the first thing we noticed when we first arrived in America 6 years ago was, it's interesting because as we're still talking with the family, the lady in the house disappeared. We was having such a good conversation during dinner, but the lady disappeared. And Eden and I thought, what is going on? Why she left the room, you know? The conversation was so nice. Did you say something wrong, Eden? Oh, maybe I said something stupid, you know? And she got upset and left the room. And we really don't understand why the lady left the room, you know? And left us with the husband, you know, smiling. And we really don't understand. Find out, you know, lately we find out that she was cleaning the kitchen, you know, she was organizing things, you know, because, you know, and I noticed after, well, that a lot of people do the same thing. It's a natural thing. As the people are there, you know, you go and you do your dishes and put things in place and you have your things. That way when the visitors left, everything is this, like the beginning, you know, not much to do, you know. As we saw, wow, I thought that I was doing something wrong and the lady left the room, you know. But, you know, there's nothing wrong about that. Don't worry about it. There's nothing wrong about that. But sometimes people who come to our lives, you know, they are in need. They are in need to someone to listen. Someone to sit down, look to their eyes, you know, let them speak. Because there are people broken around us, you know. God has brought to our lives a lot of people in ministries, and sometimes we are not paying attention. People have brought to our lives family members who deeply need a word of encouragement, a prayer, whatever. But sometimes we are so busy. We have so many other things to do. We are so concerned about the house. We are so concerned about the work. We are so concerned about the church. We didn't pay attention for the people, for the neighbor that God brought into our lives. And this is very sad. Maybe it's not only the priest and the Levite who lost the point, you know, who missed the point. Maybe in different levels, all of us have missed the point, you know. So busy, you know, so stressful life. So complex society. We live in a very complex world, you know, and we have very complex lives. And because of all this, we justify ourselves. And it's, you know, in America, it's very nice, it's very easy to justify giving a penny, you know, around, you know, giving money around, you know, just justify our, you know, make our conscience feel better. You know, we give money away and no commitment. And I think all of us has to be very careful. And why I read about Martha and Mary, most of people just read about the Good Samaritan and it's over. But because I want to tell you something else. Martha was doing nothing wrong. She has visited a home. She has so many things to do to serve the people. No, Jesus is always with a lot of people with him. No, a lot of work, you know. No, he's, you know, and Mary was sitting in the feet of Jesus, listened to him, you know. And as we read, you know, as we read the text, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. I mean, many times I see myself as Martha, so busy doing God's work, so busy with our own lives. And we forgot about, you know, the example of Mary. We forgot about the Good Samaritan. You know, we all are called to be the Good Samaritan and to be Mary. It's not only the missionaries here, all of us. Because God has brought into our lives neighbors who need us. You know, local and global. But God has been into our lives. 7 years ago, when I first came to America, I was broke. I was sick. Been doing ministry from 88 to 98 without a penny, without any support. I thought any support, I have to work so much. I was, many times I don't have food. And I was hungry, no once, no twice, doing ministry. Once I don't have money to pay the bill, the electricity bill, you know, the power bill. And I went to a church and said, Pastor, I know you don't have budget, you know, to support another missionary. But can you help me with the pay the bill because they are going to cut the power, you know, the light. And the pastor looked at me and said, I'm sorry, you know, we can't. No, and this was a friend of mine, it's a pastor friend of mine, you know. And he has 1,000 member church. And I was asking for $25. You know, very difficult. I came broke, you know. And the fact to come here was a miracle itself. Because in 98, you know, when you're single, you're crazy. I've always been crazy, you know, I tell you. I've been kidnapped, but I also kidnapped someone once, you know. I pay back, you know. I did crazy things, you know. I did, you know, it's the truth, you know, I did the thing. I go and I stay with the people smoking pot, you know, and I kind of have Bible study and they smoking pot, and I left the room like, oh, you know, kind of crazy things that I don't recommend no one to do it. So, you know, I have to be very careful. Now, once we pray for a pimp, you know what is a pimp, you know, I pray for a pimp, and somehow God listened to the prayer, you know. That lady don't deserve anything, you know, I tell you, she was mean, she was bad, so, God heard the prayer and healed her husband. It was a miracle. She was so excited about the prayer, you know, that she invited us to pray for all the girls. And me and my team, we accept the invitation. Oh, praise God, let's go there. It was a brothel. And when we arrived, the girls don't have clothes, you know. I said, uh-oh, what are we doing here, you know? Now it's too late, too, you know, we cannot turn our backs. What are you going to do? God, you know, protect our minds and let's go and pray. You know, we pray for the girls. It was great, you know. You know, and she said, you know, please come back next week. I say, oh, maybe the girls are coming back. But no, I know, I did crazy things in my life. You know, I've never been traditional. I've never been following any liturgy, anything, you know. But, you know, in 98, I got married and my wife was pregnant. And when your wife is pregnant, everything's changed. And in that time, we don't have a penny to buy a piece of clothing for our baby. We're both missionaries, you know, without support, anything. For over 10 years time, we don't have a penny. And I say, okay, let's give up. Many people say, if God is not blessing you financially, you should stop what you're doing, you know, because maybe God is closing the door, you know. We thought, maybe all these people are right, and maybe we should, you know. There's a good thing in that time, we don't have doors to close, because we do ministry in the streets, you know, and the streets don't have doors, you know. I was glad about that. We don't have to lock, you know, anything. You just, you know, just go. And we gave up. But God sent a people, a group of people, to Brazil. But when God sent this group of people, they called us first and said, please, they are visiting different countries. Please, don't talk about your needs, okay? Just show your ministry. And then, you know, I already gave up, you know. I was like, okay, it doesn't matter. You know, so many people come and go. So many people come here, take pictures and disappear. And I always say, okay. You know, but one of the pastors in that team, he went, after she did the ministry, he went back to the hotel. He can't sleep. And God put in his heart to come back and speak with us. And said, you know, tell the truth, what is going on? And when he said that, the next day I cried, say, this is what is going on, we are giving up. He said, no, my church is going to help you. I'm bringing you to the United States, to Sacramento, California, Arcade Church. And my church is going to help you. And this was in August. And in February, we was arriving in the United States of America. Because that man, that pastor, he keeps his word. Daniel Henderson, he keeps his word. And he makes happens. You know, God bless him to make happens. And we put our name, our son's name, after Pastor Daniel Henderson. My boy, 7 years old, Daniel. You know, sometimes we are so busy that we don't pay attention. And this was the first time I have heard about Kingston Church. Because in that trip, Pastor Bruce Boria was part of the team with Dr. Hans Finzel. And this is when I met Boria and his son. Now, he's a very funny, crazy guy, too. I identify myself with him, you know. He said to me, Paulo, let's buy all these prostitutes, you know. We're going to raise money, you know. Take all these slave girls and let's buy them. And I say, good idea. But it was great. But this was the first time I heard about Hinson. And when we first arrived, we don't know how to raise support. We don't know anything. We don't know anything. But, you know, God gave us grace because in America... In America, not in Brazil, I don't know why, don't ask me why, but in America, we was rich by good Samaritans. We was rich by good Samaritans who heal our lives, our hearts, who cure our ministry, you know. And God is, you know, so amazing. In 1.5 years, God... We raised enough money to go back and buy a camp, buy a building, you know, for the kids. We have started from since 2000, we have started 5 new churches in different slums of Brazil. You know, we have started 6 new day centers where the kids can come and play out of streets, you know, out of drugs, out of prostitution. God is doing so much. And I praise God, you know, I just praise God. Because we was rich by the good Samaritans here in the United States of America. We was rich by you in different ways. And I really thank you for the opportunity to be here today, you know, and to bless our lives. I hope that this experience here today will open the doors for us to build a stronger relationship with you. I'm back here, and one of the reasons I'm back to America is because both my wife and I got very sick. And since last year, I've been suffering with very severe depression. Well, it's making very, very hard. And it looks like that every time I come to America, I come broke. And it's kind of, I don't know why. But you know, maybe I know, it's because God has using the people or the church here to cure, to, you know, take care of our souls, to take care of our lives, and to bless us. And I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful to the church, United States of America. You know, I thank you. I hope you can come alongside Restoration Ministries. I hope you can come alongside with my wife and I. You know, pray with us. Pray for us. Pray for the ministry. You know, I know the other missionaries also have information on the back here. You know, the other missionaries need as much I need. You know, just appreciate it, you know. It's not only a piece of paper. Just grab one of the brochures, you know. You know, take 1 minute to read and pray about it. I don't think I'm here for a coincidence. I don't think I'm here because, you know, Ed wanted me to be here. Somehow I believe that God brought me into your life. And brought you into your life Restoration Ministries. As God has brought your life many other ministries. I was so touched to see the ministry baptizing here. The girls, it was great. Don't turn your back. Don't pass away like the priest and the Levite did. You know, don't do it. You know, think about, you know, and take action. Take action. Do something. No, do something. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter how poor or how rich you are. You know, take action. Do something. Take care. Listen of what God wanted to talk with you. Take care and listen. Because God has brought into your life neighbors that needs you. God wants your life. God wants to use your life to bless these other people. I'm late, you know, I didn't follow the time. I'm sorry for that, you know. But, you know, I'm always in trouble. Maybe because there I'm going to lose the support from the church. And I should know better, you know. But don't miss the point, please. Don't miss the point like Martha did, like the priest, the Levite. Don't miss the point like the disciples did. You know, I always been anonymous. You know, when I saw my name in the outside, I felt, oh my gosh. But you know, God uses anonymous people to do His work. And then most of us is going to continue to be anonymous to men. But you know, God has prepared for you, you know, a place, very special place in heaven. And this is what matters, huh? Please open your heart. Open your heart. Let God speak with you. You know, and don't miss the point. I'm finishing just reading one verse. Only one verse. Love the Lord with your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Listen to the word of God. The missionaries will be here in the back after the classrooms. And they are going to give you brochures. They are going to give you newsletters. Take one. Read. Pray about it. They are here for a purpose. And I believe that God prepared this. God prepared this meeting here. And I believe that God wanted to use and bless your life. God bless you.